Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
All right, good to see you all. Happy Father's Day. It's been a great joy to be a dad in my house, and it's so cool. And I just want to encourage you, even if you're not a father in the natural, there is so much of a role that you can play in our generation. So for example, this young kid came up to me this morning and he gave me a gift. And this gift was an artwork done by himself, and it said, "Happy Father's Day." And he drew a picture of a German Shepherd. And if you know me, you know that I love my boy Everest, a German Shepherd, a Bible and a microphone. This kid comes from a horrendous story. Dad is not involved in his life whatsoever, but for whatever reason, something within him latched onto me. And, you know, nothing that I do. I'm just another guy, just trying to love Jesus in his life, trying to be an encouragement to him. And so you don't need to be a father in the natural to have supernatural reach into people's hearts. You know, there's so much kingdom principle, but David was crowned king, anointed king before he was crowned. If you go through the Bible, he was anointed king 15 years before he was ever crowned king. He lived in his anointing even though he didn't have the crown, because a word of the Father said, "This is who you are," changed his identity and started ministering out of that anointing. Just because it's not come biologically to you yet, you are still can still operate in the kingdom principle of fathering a generation who are lost and needing guidance in their life. Amen? And so I just believe that that's a prophetic anointing that's over this house as well. The Nexus Church, we are a family church. We love families. We love the family unit. And you don't need to have all those things that come with being a biological dad in order to have power and influence. That came for free. We're going to jump into the Word this morning or this evening. But we've been doing a series called Lord. Lord over darkness, Lord over all creation, the sovereignty and the power of Christ, and how He has every power, every energy, every dominion, glory. All things are under His name. All things are created by Him, through Him, and for Him. To God be the glory. We're looking at the sovereignty of Christ, and therefore tonight we're looking at the sovereignty of Christ and how He can be Lord over our mind. And this message is not just so we can have more holy thoughts tonight. This message is for freedom. This message is for breakthrough. This message is for us to take and wrestle with into our weekday, into our workplaces, universities, into our families, relationships, that the battle of the mind is where we do all of our living. Someone once said to me, "You do all your living between your ears." And I find that to be true, that every mindset leads to convictions, which leads to actions, which leads to behaviors, which leads to habits, which leads to discipline. Everything happens in the seedbed of the mind. And that's why the Lord wants us to guard it. That's why He wants us to meditate on His truth and His power and His ways. And that's also why the enemy looks for strategic ways to enter the seedbed of our mind, to sow his discord, lies, and distortions of truth. So we're looking at the mind tonight. So if you're taking notes, the title of this message is "My Mindset Matters." My mindset matters. Taking responsibility, not being victims of circumstance, but taking responsibility for what happens in our conscious thought, our cognitive thinking. Do you know, research would say that we can have up to 60,000 thoughts per day. That is a lot. And so we're going to look at some scriptures. We don't have enough time to entertain a lot of scriptures tonight, but we could definitely turn this into a 10-week series. But we're going to just look at a couple of passages where both Jesus and his disciples, especially Paul, the Apostle Paul, who would go on to write so many books, would implore his believers to grab a hold of the power of thinking and allow your thinking to be of king, filtered through a kingdom lens. I'm trying to get my words out tonight. A kingdom lens, all right? So our main scripture tonight, if you want to swipe to your Bibles, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and starting in verse 3, and it's on the board. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That, again, is pretty heavy-handed military language. We do not war according to the flesh. Next. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself or leans against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's where we're going to focus our time tonight. What does it look to take captive every thought? All 60,000 of them. No, we can have conscious and unconscious thought, but it's like this highway of traffic of thinking just breezing through. And if we're not careful, some of these thoughts can lead to distinct neural pathways that become strongholds in our life and we don't even know they exist. They just become part of the landscape of our lives and we think that it's always been there, but it's never been born of God. It's been embedded by the belief of false identity or mistruths or distortion and destruction, and we just become accustomed to living with it. But they're strongholds, and the enemy is saying, it's a stronghold. I have a fortified grip on your life. But this scripture says to me that we have power in the Word of God that allows those strongholds of thinking to come down. And so we're going to explore what that looks like tonight. Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 12, would also double down on this power of thinking. He says, for we are conformed to the patterns of this world. It's natural. It's in our culture to be conformed, to associate, to partner with the patterns of this world. But Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we have this dichotomy here, this choice. It says, do not conform, but be transformed. Do not be conformed. That means to sidle up with. That means to take on one's identity. That means to conform one's mind and character to another's pattern. Has anyone seen Book Week? You know, got kids and sent them off to Book Week this week. My daughter went as little Bo Peep. Oh, she breaks my heart. She carried around her little lammy all day. Oh, and she even went to sleep with it that night. Oh. And she said, Dad, I don't know if I made any friends today. I said, why is that? She said, I wouldn't let them pat my lamb. Well, you're a woman of conviction. I give you that, darling. But also try to be generous. Yes, you know, partnering, empathy with authority, you know, you've got to grow in both. All right. So we sent them, you know, to identify with somebody in order to look apart. They've been exposed to different things in culture and they want to associate and go with. That's a stupid, silly example, but my daughter's still cute. But it's a silly example, but it goes to show how quickly we can try to associate and link in and assimilate into today's culture to be like, to walk with, to be seen with, to feel like, all that sort of stuff. And Paul is saying, be careful, don't be conformed to what is popular, what is culturally heightened at the day. Don't be conformed to how the world operates, because the world operates, it all looks nice and rosy, but there's a distorted truth coming through every single way. It's subtle, but it's very strong. Don't be conformed to that pattern of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind, it means that the battle once again is up here. When we're thinking about what lies ahead, where we're going, our destiny, our friendships, our business, whatever it is, it begins with the renewing of our mind. Every thought that comes through, we have to test by the kingdom lens of Christ. This word transformed is the word metamorpho, which is kind of like a move that I think that Ray Gun would come up with, you know, like metamorpho. It's like I'm a butterfly, but I'm also a kangaroo. Did I do that all right? Oh. I tell you what, someone said to me, like, this is not something that we celebrate around here, but Halloween is coming up and everyone's just going to be wearing like a Ray Gun, you know, suit, you know, everywhere down the streets and stuff like that. Anyway, enough on her. God bless her. I think she's gone through a heck of a lot and I don't want to contribute, but I have. I've been conformed to the pattern of this world. Okay. Getting back to this word, transformed, it's actually another word to transfigure. And in scripture, you might have heard the power of this word when Jesus met with the fulfillment of the law and of prophets. He met with Elijah and Moses, who represented the law and the prophets, and he met with them on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he became like the sun, blazing like the sun, where his clothes became whiter than any nappy sand could do the job on. He became transfigured in front of them. And this is another word to transfigure. That shows to me that we are transformed into the same image or the consummate excellence that shines through Christ. The consummate excellence that shines through Christ is what we are invited to and the freedom that we have when we are able to renew our mind. That's where transformation happens. It doesn't happen just through bodily exercise, or it doesn't happen through external practices that we try to draw in. No, it's an internal discipline that leads to transformation. And so what are we disciplining our mind to do? It's focusing on the cross of Jesus Christ, of his resurrection, of the work of his Spirit, of the power of his word. And when life comes, when those 60,000 thoughts come, we're upholding these thoughts to the lens of, is this Christ's resurrection power? It does the Holy Spirit witness and latch and lay hold on to this truth, or is this a lie from the enemy? And if it is a lie, it is wanting to build a stronghold that has to come down. There is another passage of scripture that says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The word there for rule is brabio. And brabio means to umpire. I might have shared this before, but this passage of scripture has come to life to me over the last 2 years, where I was not allowing the peace of Christ to rule, to umpire my heart. When I think of umpire, I think of like a tennis analogy, where we have two opponents and we have a chair umpire that sits at a higher perspective and is able to oversee the course of events, is able to see what is happening, and is able to make judgment calls based on their authority. And this scripture says that there is a peace that is of Christ that wants to be the umpire of your very heart, of your life. And there are times when I have, for want of to extend this analogy, is I've been playing a rally with the enemy. And the enemy has come and served, and it might be a lie of you're not good enough. And instead of listening to the umpire that says, that's out, you don't have to entertain that thought, you don't have to play that back, you don't have to exhaust yourself entertaining this particular point, I have entertained that thought and I've kept the rally going. Meanwhile, the peace of Christ says, the game's over, you don't have to play that. That point is not part of my plan for you. It's finished. Start again. Be part of the repercharge. Take up the second chance. Take up the new life that is available for you. Why are you steeped in this dross, this sin, and you keep hitting it back, backhand, forehand, running after points? He's got you exhausted. Why? Because you're entertaining the very lie that he inserted into it when it's not true. And this is why Paul is talking about latching hold of the truth of the thoughts that come through your minds, because that's the transformation center. That's where life happens. That's where you experience the truth and the freedom and the life and the victory that is offered through Jesus Christ, and yet we continue to play it back. And Christ is just like, I want to insert myself in the game, but you have the racket and you're chasing this, but I have something new for you. Don't exhaust yourself. I've wasted way too much sleep with a 3 a.m. thought that has kept me up. I've wasted way too much time and effort where I could have been sowing seeds of faith into my family. I've believed lies that I'm not a great provider. It's Father's Day. I know I'm a great dad. That's the one thing I'm sure of. But there are times, but I have questioned so much of my life to the negative, and I don't have any peace at all. Where Christ is offering peace, I've entertained stress, I've entertained anxiety, I've entertained worry, I've played back fear, I've played back rejection, I've played back lies that say I'm not good enough. And I know that in a room this size, there would be so many stories of people who are living victim when Christ has offered freedom. I know it. And the fact is that you know it too. And here is an opportunity tonight to surrender and place before him your life yet again. And say, Lord, renew my thinking, renew my mind. I place these lies, these distortions of the enemies that leads to destruction. And I've actually built strongholds that have become part of the landscape of my life. This is how a stronghold is broken, built. It's like a fortified city. And these strongholds are built in our life, but how they're built is they're built brick by brick. And every time you take a thought that I'm a failure, or I'm not good enough, or why bother, you walk into a social setting and you immediately think that no one's going to like, appreciate, welcome you, you are taking a brick and you are building a stronghold in your life. And after a while, these strongholds become a fortified city. And the enemy says, I'm going to encamp there. And it stops you and me from living in the freedom that Christ offers. But the hope of this scripture is, but the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. And every high thing that exalts itself or leans into the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Take every thought captive. How does a stronghold break? Number one, it comes through the power of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the truth and the victory of Jesus Christ, what he came to offer and give his life for, our freedom. And so we have the power to take captive our thoughts. And so if anything, I just want to, as a church, to nudge us forward a little bit today and to offer some homework that would lead to our freedom. That as we go and we go out to dinner tonight, as we go back to our families, as we go back to maybe the stresses that are awaiting your work week, place it before the Lord and lead it through the filter of kingdom lens. Measure it up against the Word of God. Measure it up against the life of the Spirit. Measure it up against the heart of Jesus Christ. And if it doesn't measure up and align to those things, it needs to be cast down. And how do you cast it down? You say, Lord, this is not of you. I only want to renew my mind on things above. Whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is trustworthy, whatever is noble, whatever is perfect and good. I'm only aligning myself to those thoughts. Jesus modeled this so powerfully when he was tempted in the wilderness. Often we think that Jesus didn't have to, you know, go, well, he's God, he's the incarnate Christ. But the Bible says clearly that we do not have a high priest who does not empathize with our weakness, because he was tempted without sin. And the enemy knew the weakness of God. It says in Luke chapter 4, let's read it together. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Thank you. Good note. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. First time he was tempted, the enemy came, knew that he was hungry, knew that he was vulnerable, knew that he was isolated, and he says, there is a way that you can be satisfied. And Jesus says, I'll only be satisfied on the Word of God. The second one, the devil led him up to a high place. Think of that word, high place. And showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Taken up to a high place, look out, look at the kingdom perspectives. Sin will always prop up itself. It always exalts itself, and that's why it has to come down. It always lifts itself up against the knowledge of Christ. It's always trying to get high. That's why Adam and Eve in the garden, they said, you can be high, you can elevate your status, you can elevate your knowledge, you can have power just like God can. Sin always tries to prop up and empower. Look at the Tower of Babel, when people could see that we could do something together, they always wanted to, they said, let's build something. And where did they want to go? They wanted to go high. So we can reach God. Sin always tries to make you feel better, prop itself up, justifies itself so you will look better, so it will be nicer, it'll feel better, it'll taste better. It's always lifting up. That's why the power with God is to cast it down. That's why here in the scriptures, the enemy wanted to say, why don't you be lifted high, Jesus? He says, no, I'm the suffering servant, I'm the humble king, I'm not going to be lifted high by my own ways. Sin does that. But my Father's kingdom is that I will be a servant, not be served. Number three, and if the team want to come, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point, have that word again, the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he says, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he couldn't break through because Jesus knew the power of the Word of God. He knew his identity in the Father, and he knew that the Holy Spirit was with him because it says that he was in the desert with the full of the Holy Spirit. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until a more opportune time. The devil is looking for more opportune times with Jesus. He's looking for more opportune times with us, especially with our thinking, to insert, to say you're going to be lifted high if you believe this. And there's so many things I want to say. Let's go quick. Started off in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. The devil saw a vulnerability in Adam and Eve and went for it and got it. Then we fast forward, and it was lush and it was beautiful, the Eden. And then we fast forward to where Jesus become the incarnate Christ. He's fully man, not 50-50, 100% fully man, 100% deity. And the enemy says, if I found it in Adam, I might be able to find it in you. Where is your vulnerability, Jesus? And we see the temptation happen in a desert wilderness. That place was called Jerusharam or something like that, which means the devastation. If we go from Eden, which is beautiful, plenty, God's providence, to see how sin entered the world, we can trace it to where it leads to devastation, yeah? That's how the enemy would want to play it out. That's how he wants to leave our minds, our hearts. He always wants to take that which was beautiful and turn it into a barren land, a devastation. But then, through the cross of Jesus Christ, it goes back to new life, fruitfulness. We see that that's the life that is now become available, that we no longer walk around in this desert, harsh, barren land, but we're walking with Jesus in unity, in life and power and spirit. He wants to bring us back to Eden, bring us back to himself, walking in the garden. That's always been his plan. Just want to finish on this one thing. The devil said and quoted Psalm 91 to Jesus. The devil knows the Bible. He says, Psalm 91. It says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That's where the devil left it. He's quoting scripture, Psalm 91. But what the devil failed to do in that instance is leave off the next scripture, to quote the next scripture, which says this: you will tread on the lion and the snake, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Why? Because why did the enemy leave off that? Because he didn't want to quote his own fate. Jesus would strike his foot, but he would trample death in the process. And there is pain and there is heartache and there is struggle that happens between the mind. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about how we are conditioned to this world. We conceal and we try to control our fears. But Jesus is so kind. He's saying, lay hold of me, latch on to the confident hope that you carry, because I'm faithful. And I want you to come back from that barren land. I don't want you to entertain the enemy's lies anymore. I want you to win. And the reason you can win is because I won. The reason you can have victory is because I got the victory. You know, Jesus did end up being lifted up. He says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And he was talking about his death. Jesus did get the kingdom, but it came through suffering. And he suffered for us. And that is the most humbling but most beautiful place to be at, is when we recognize not just what Christ did, but what he's inviting us into. And that we can, that there is resurrection power at play. There, we don't need to be controlled by the narratives of our minds. We no longer have to live victim to what we think about ourselves, but we can live free. We can live in the identity of Christ. So you ready just to renew your mind this evening? Why don't we stand to our feet? We're just going to worship the Lord with this new song. Maybe, you know, it's new to me, and so I'm going to just meditate on the lyrics. But in this time, maybe just bring one thing to the Lord. One thing. One thing that you're struggling with. One thing that's looming on the horizon for you this week. One thing that you might be fearful of. And just hold it up to the lens of Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, his word and his spirit. And if it doesn't line up, say, Lord, renew my thinking. Yeah. Renew my mind. I don't want to live victim. I don't want to live controlled and conformed, but I want to be transformed so that I can live free. I want to be transformed so I can be a great dad, continue to be. I want to be transformed so I can be a loving husband. I want to be transformed so I can see more of the splendor and the mystery of the kingdom. I want to be transformed. And so let's just offer our lives. Maybe place your hands out before you as we sing this song in Jesus' name.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.